All right, we want to praise the Lord. Rain cooled things off a little bit out there. Probably won't take too long for it to heat up. Thank God for the rain. Amen.
Amen.
And this is July, I think, the 28th. Lord's Day Sunday morning. Great opportunity to be in the house of God. I don't know how long we got. I really don't. Looks to me like we're getting ready to get out of here. But I do believe we need to do what we can while we can. One thing we can do is we can be a blessing to the Lord. And I think Sunday school is one of them things, you know, where you can sit at the table of the Lord. I always like Sunday school because you can ask questions.
Yep.
And don't get me wrong, when I first got saved, I didn't know nothing about church. Rick's up there preaching like a wild man. I stood up and said, "Brother Rick, what's this mean?" He said, "I'm preaching right now, brother." He said, "We'll talk later." And I didn't know the difference between Sunday school and preaching, but I love that part about Sunday school because I have a lot of questions and still got a lot of questions. But I like Sunday school. You can say, I mean, you can get off topic or you can go anywhere in Sunday school. That's the whole purpose of Sunday school, is to kind of like, you know, gather thoughts together and scriptures together and try to convey, you know, a topic or a truth or something like that. But we want to praise God for the opportunity for Sunday school today. And hope you've had a good week. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. We'll get Brother Donnie up here to read our scripture. We'll be in Psalms chapter number 35. And I think it's got 28 verses. We'll go there here in just a second. Brother Bob Malkin, his father passed away. Talked with him yesterday. He's okay with it, but you know he's still got that reservation about his dad not coming forward and getting saved, trying to comfort him. I said, "Well, Brother Bob," I said, "you know, a lot of things can happen in fleeting moments. It don't take long to get saved. It takes forever to get lost. It took me 34 years to get lost, but it didn't take but a minute to get saved." And I said, "You might be surprised. There'll be a lot of surprises. We get to heaven, there'll be people there we wasn't expecting to be there. And there'll probably be some people we was expecting to be there, won't be there, amen. But we want to remember Brother Bob and his family. His father passed away. We want to remember Andy Watson called me, and his oldest daughter, Annabelle, one plays a banjo. She's got walking pneumonia.
Oh,
and he said, "Please remember her in prayer," so we want to be forward to do that too. Our Father, we thank you for the privilege of prayer. What a privilege, Lord, to come before you with our petitions. Lord, all this week, Lord, you've blessed. And Lord, if nothing else, Lord, just say thank you, Lord, for the blessings of God. Thank you, Lord, for the provisions. Thank you, Lord, for the protection. Thank you, Lord, for the grace of God that Lord, gets us through each and every day. When needed, you said you give more grace, and
yes,
all of us could say glory to God. God's been so good to me.
Amen.
And we just pray, Father God, for, Lord, the family of Brother Bob Malkin. They lost a loved one, his father, and he's concerned about where he's going to spend eternity. And we certainly understand that, Lord. We do. And I pray, God, Lord, somehow, Lord, you work that out. I don't know the condition of his father, other than he was an Orthodox Jew, and Brother Bob also was an Orthodox Jew. And if Brother Bob could get saved, his father could get saved too. We pray he did. And I pray also, Lord, Brother Andy Watson, his family, Lord, his oldest child, his daughter, Sister Annabelle, he informed me that she's got walking pneumonia. And we've been earnestly praying for her. We want to continue, Lord, to pray for her, Lord, that you would not only minister, Lord, to her sickness, but heal her and get her over this walking pneumonia. Mm-hmm. Lord, we pray, Lord, Father, for all your churches this morning. Now, I thank you, Father, for the churches that's got the doors open, got the lights on. Lord, got people coming in, and Lord, they're serving up, Lord. Lord, the Word of God, we thank you for those churches, Father, those fundamental, fruitful churches. Bless them, Lord, and visit them, Lord, and encourage them, Father. And Father, we pray for all these here in this little church landmark. Lord, I so thank you for the success of the Vacation Bible School. I thank you for Rita, Lord, how She, Lord, not only, Lord, was a particular to everything, but, Lord, successful. Lord, we had, I think, right at 12 here, 11, I know for sure. And, Lord, we're thankful for those young hearts that, Lord, were not only mindful, Lord, of the things she taught them, but she had the opportunity to instill in their hearts things, Lord, that they'll need as they grow. And Lord, we want to plant that precious seed. We want to ask God's blessings on it. Thank you, Lord, for Bo, Lord, raising his hand. We'll to quote that next verse of Romans chapter 12. After I quoted verse 1, he said, Brother Eddie, can I quote verse 2? I said, absolutely. We welcome that, Lord. I would to God that all of them, Lord, would have that mind to want to grow in the Lord. And he said he learned that in Vacation Bible School. Bless Rita, Lord, for her efforts there, Father. Bless, Lord, the labor, Lord, that Lord, she put forth. Lord, I got blessed just seeing it, Lord. And it was a blessing. We thank you for probably the most worthwhile thing that Landmark has done. Lord, this year we're thankful for that. And I pray, Lord God, you'd help us even this morning to give you praise. Lord, help our country, Lord, to get its eyes back on God. Lord, get right with God. I would to God see a Nineveh repentance in America. I wish America would get sick of sin. I would to God, Lord, they'd see their sad condition. I wish they could see themselves in the mirror of God. I seen where the LGBTQ bunch put on some kind of mockery in France about the Lord's Supper. And Lord, just sarcasm and blasphemy, Lord. Lord, it ought not be so. But that's the day we're living in. Yeah. That's the hour, Lord, we're living in. Mm-hmm. We know, Lord, they mocked Noah, Lord, and they didn't mock after that door shut on that ark. And we see a door fixing to shut soon.
Yes.
Lord, when that door shuts, those on the right side of that door, it'll be well with them. Those on the other side of that door, they'll have hell to pay for that mistake. Oh, what a weeping and a wailing when the lost are told of their fate. They'll cry to the rocks and to the mountains, but the cries will be too late. Mm-hmm. Bless today our efforts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, that thing kept a recording. Hallelujah. I'm having to watch it. It's getting turned itself off. I don't know if it's me or it. But it's still going.
Amen. I want to thank the Lord for a good week that He's given me.
Amen.
A good 3 days off. And I know my brother here must have got hurt worse than what I thought, because when he can't bruise the head of a snake we saw over the weekend, I knew something going on.
I forgot about the snake. Amen. I picked up the wrong tool. I picked up.
And it's quick. I couldn't even get to it. I thought of Brother Eric. Maybe Brother Eric could have got a hold of him. Bruise his head.
That's what I was going to do. Should have got a stick instead of a piece of pipe.
Well, we're in Psalms 35.
Yeah.
And there's 28 verses. And y'all pray for me that I can get through those 28 without stuttering too awful bad.
Bless him, Lord.
Verse 1. Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 2. Take hold of the shield and buckler and stand up for mine help. Verse 3. Draw out also the spear and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Verse 4. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Verse 5. Let them be as chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. Verse 6. Let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord persecute them. Mm-hmm. Verse 7. For without cause they have hid for me their net in a pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul. Verse 8. Let destruction come upon him at unawares, and let his net that he hath hid cast himself and to that very destruction let him fall. Verse 9. Mm-hmm. And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. Verse 10. All my bones shall say, Lord, who is like unto thee, which delivereth the poor from him that is too strong for him? Yea, the poor and the needy from him that spoileth him. Verse 11. False witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things that I knew not.
Right.
Verse 11. They rewarded me evil for good to the spoiling of my soul. Verse 13. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned unto my own bosom. Verse 14. I behaved myself as though he had been my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily as one that mourneth for his mother. Verse 15. But in my adversary they rejoice and gather themselves together. Yea, the adjects gathered themselves together against me, and I knew it not. They did tear me and ceased not. Verse 16. With hypocritical mockers and feast, they gnashed upon me with their teeth. Verse 17. Lord, how long wilt thou look on? Rescue my soul from their destructions, my darling, from the lions. Verse 18. I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. Verse 19. Let not them that are my enemies wrongfully rejoice over me, neither let them wink with the eye that hate me without a cause. Verse 20. For they speak not peace, but they devise deceitful matters against them that are quiet in the land. Verse 21. Yea, they open their mouth wide against me and said, A, our eyes have seen it. 22. This thou hast seen, O Lord. Keep not silent, O Lord, but not far from me. Verse 23. Stir up thyself and awake to my judgment, even unto my cause, my God and my Lord. Verse 24. Judge me, O Lord, my God, according to thy righteousness, and let them not rejoice over me. Verse 25. Let them not say in their hearts, so would we have it. Let them not say, we have swallowed him up. Verse 26. Let them be ashamed and brought to confusion together that rejoice at my hurt. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor and magnify themselves against me. Verse 27. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, amen. Let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And verse 28, and my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long.
Amen.
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 Amen. Good job, brother. This is a Messiah song. David spake it, but it was a reference to Christ. And some of this stuff in here, you won't find anywhere else in the Bible. There's several things brought out in this chapter that are like glimpses. Some of it pertains like to the prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. And so it pertains to Lord on the cross and the mockery that had come upon him in the judgment hall, the Sanhedrin and Pilate's judgment hall. See, he delivered himself into the hands of sinners. He told his disciples that he would be delivered into the hands of sinners and be mocked. And that just went over their head. They didn't really It didn't register with him. He didn't really get what he was saying. But a lot of this is the Lord himself. It says, plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. And he told Pilate, he said, you'd have no power at all against me except it be given thee. And here he is, the Lamb of God, and he's getting ready to be sacrificed for the sins of the world. And the Bible says he opened not his mouth. So these are thoughts that the Lord had at the moment. It says, take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for mine help. The Bible mentions in Isaiah 53 that he was forsaken of God. And it says, we see him smitten of God and afflicted. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he's cut off out of the land of the living. For transgression of my people was he stricken. He's paying the price of the sin of the world. But I didn't actually find the verse I was looking for, but he was forsaken of God. I mean, not only he said, my God, where art thou? Which is a Messiah statement there in Psalms 22 verse 1. But he was forsaken of God there. And, he's delivered in the hands of sinners. We'll get back to where it was here. A lot of these are thoughts that was going through the mind of Jesus during this time when he's on his way to be crucified. And when he says, draw out the spear and stop the way against them that persecute me and say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. That statement's kind of like a statement of reassurance. Remind me of why I'm going through this. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. He is salvation. Acts 4:12, there's no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. And a lot of people look other places for salvation, and there'll be a price for that. Only one can save. He came this world to save sinners, Paul said, of whom I am chief. But the Lord here, he didn't speak any of this, but a lot of this is going through his mind. He said, let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Yeah. The Lord's like running a gauntlet. I don't know if you know what that means or not, but the Indians years ago, and they would line up on both sides. And if you could make it to the end of the line alive, you could go free. And I mean, they's like me going after that snake. They had, they had axes and sticks and knives and everything. And as you went down that line, they frailed afar out of you. And I seen a movie one time. Of course, it's just a movie. One guy made it to the end. They couldn't believe he made it through it, but he made it. Says, let them be brought to confusion that devised my hurt. They had planned what they was going to do with Jesus. Verse 5, let them be as chaff before the wind. Chaff just kind of blows away, disappears. Let the angel of the Lord chase them. The Lord here, when he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, he already knew what was coming his way. Disciples, they didn't have a clue. But he already knew. He told them several times, the Son of Man must be delivered in the hands of sinners and be crucified. And Peter said, be far from thee, Lord. And he knew all that was coming his way. He said, verse 6, let their way be dark and slippery. Let the angel of the Lord persecute them. The Lord here, he told him, he said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Pray with me. And the disciples, they went over and went to sleep. He said, "For without cause have they hid for me their net in a pit." They've made all kinds of trying to entangle the Lord. Even when they brought the woman caught red-handed in the act of adultery and threw her down, just an opportunity to try to catch him some way. And they would come to him, try to trap him. He said, "They have hid for me their net in a pit, which without cause have they dig for my soul." They didn't really have no reason to be mad at Jesus. Jesus said, "For what good work will you stone me?" They said, "For a good work we stone thee not." Mm-hmm. They just didn't like him.
Right.
Joseph's brothers wanted to get rid of Joseph. He's jealous of him. And probably a lot of the same true with Jesus. They put Joseph in a pit, which again, pictures like Christ. And they sold him, to be a slave, end up Potiphar's house. But in the end, he said to his brothers, he said, "You meant it to me for evil, but God meant it for good, to save life." And the Lord kind of pictured that in Joseph, what he's going through here. And without a cause, they hid for me their net in a pit. And says, without cause they dig for my soul. And let destruction come upon them at unawares. And let his net that he had catch himself into that very destruction, let him fall. Mm-hmm. And the Lord here had a lot on his mind.
Right.
And a lot of this, like I said, you won't find nowhere else in the Bible. "And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord, and it shall rejoice in his salvation." Verse 10, "All my bones shall say, Lord, who is like unto thee, which deliverest the poor from him that's too strong for him? Yea, the poor and the needy from him that spoileth him." You know, the Lord looked for some in Psalm 69. He looked for some to have pity on him as, he's suffering. He says in Psalm 69, verse 4, "They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head." Verse 4 of Psalm 69. Mm-hmm. Verse 12, "They that sit at the gate speak against me. I was the song of the drunkard." He said in verse 20, "I looked for some to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none." Verse 26, "For they persecute him whom thou hast smitten." And the world was really out of touch with what was really going on. I mean, Peter in the book of Acts, he said if the prince of this world had known, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. And so it was hid from them. And even in this, what we've read here, he says, "Let their way be dark," verse 6, "and slippery." They didn't have a clue that they were fulfilling, the will of God, the Word of God. And he says, "All my bones shall say, Lord, who is like unto thee, which delivers the poor from him that's too strong for him?" The Lord is our protector. He's our provider. Abraham called the Lord Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide there when God showed him a ram take the place of his son Isaac upon Mount Moriah. And the Lord is our defense. He's our deliverer. And he says, "Yea, the poor and the needy from him that spoileth him." He's the only one that can deliver. We're in trouble right now. Not just in America, but even in the whole world, we're in trouble. And one reason we're in trouble, things have progressed so much. The advantage is so great. They know everything there is to know now. They can eavesdrop on you. When you're using your phone, they're eavesdropping. They've got a thing, it's called the hammer. I found out about this through the grapevine. And it's able to just about bring out anything that you've said at any time, and able to to, you know, be used against you. I mean, here we got freedom in America, freedom of speech. I don't know if I can find that. See if I didn't put that in here. In Canada, they've got a law, they just passed it, called a hate speech law. And you can be in prison for life for speaking out like against homosexual acts or against homosexual people or stuff like that. I'm just telling you, the deck's been stacked. Your rights are being compromised. That's one thing that we're thankful to live in America. We have rights. There are constitutions being dismantled. Hey, somebody come out with the 1619 Act, just a bunch of lies is all it is. Trying to put propaganda in the place of true history. Your word against their word. Thank God there is a record. And they're trying to destroy that record. In Psalms 11, verse 3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I'm just telling you, there's a great effort being made to rewrite history and to try to somehow take your freedom and your constitutional rights away. Well, the Lord here, He's the one that can help us.
Right.
He's the one that David said, I'll look to the hills which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, made heaven and earth. He's the one here in verse 10 that can help the poor and the needy from him that spoileth him. You know, when the Lord was forsaken of all, and they left him alone there in the garden. Verse 11, false witnesses did rise up in Matthew chapter 26, verse number 59. You see a little bit of this right there. Matthew 26, verse 59. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witnesses against Jesus to put him to death, but they found none. Yea, though that many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses and said, this fellow said, I'm able to destroy the temple of God and build it in 3 days, which is truth. Just talking about a different temple. Then the high priest arose and said unto them, answerest thou nothing? And Jesus didn't answer a word. What is it which these witness against these? But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tellest whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. He'd already told them. They just didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to accept it. They didn't want to receive it. But false witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things that I knew not. And again, like I said, this is a Messiah passage here. David's speaking these things. This is a Psalm of David. And the Bible says, holy men of God spake as they're moved by the Holy Ghost. David's speaking this, and maybe not even aware of what he's even speaking about. I mean, he's speaking about the Lord and Calvary. Verse 12, they rewarded me evil for good to the spoiling of my soul. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned unto my own bosom. I behaved myself as though he had been my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily as one that mourneth for his mother. The Lord, He returned good for evil. He would go. He would say, I'll come, I'll pray, and I'll come, I'll heal. And they didn't really have any regard to what he did for them. They just glad to get their sick healed, glad to get their daughter, the son, back. He healed 10 lepers. How many of them returned?
One.
Yeah. He said, where's the nine? Mm-hmm. And they just got what they wanted and ran. And but here, he done what was right. Verse 15, he says, but in mine adversity, they rejoiced. They mocked him on the cross. You can see that again in Matthew there. Even the two thieves mocked him there. They rejoiced and gathered themselves together. Yea, the abjects kind of like accusers, gathered themselves together against me, and I knew it not. They did tear me, and they ceased not. Jesus wasn't beaten by Jewish, you know, in the Jewish law, you're supposed to get 40 stripes, save one. He was beat by Roman soldiers. They knew nothing about no Jewish law. And one soldier would wear himself out, and the next one would step up, and the next one would step up, and they all took their turn. He was beaten. The Bible said his vestiges was marred more than any man. He was just a bloody pulp. I mean, they would have killed him if they could. They did tear me and cease not. With hypocritical mockers in feast, they gnashed upon me with their teeth. You won't find that anywhere.
No.
You can find where they gnashed upon Stephen there in Acts chapter 7. Let me show you something here. In Isaiah chapter 50. Look at verse number 6. I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that pluck off the hair. You won't find that anywhere.
No.
Now you will find where they spit in his face.
Yes.
I hid not my face from shame and spitting. So that gnashing of that teeth, we did see it come up on Stephen there. You know, they gnashed upon him with their teeth. But in Psalms 22 verse 12, it mentions about the bulls of Bashan. And talking about them running upon him. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round about. They gaped upon me with their mouths. There's that gnashing of the teeth. And like I said, this Messiah psalm starts out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me from the words of my ruin? And they gaped upon me with their mouths as a raven and a roaring lion. You know, Alexander Holyfield and Mike Tyson got in the ring in 1997, and Mike Tyson bit Evander Holyfield's ear twice, and the second time he bit a big chunk out of it.
Oh, yeah.
But it's kind of like what this is.
Yeah.
You know, just angry. No regard for their, I guess you call it, opponent. But this verse 16, they gashed upon me with their teeth, mentioned a little bit there in Psalms 22. Verse 17, Lord, how long will thou look on? You know, the Lord hid his face from him. And he said, how long will thou look on? Boy, you're hanging on a cross. Or when you're going through the beating,
yeah.
When you're going through the mocking, smote him on the head with a reed, smote him with their fist, spit in his face, bit him. How long will thou look on? Rescue my soul from their destructions. My darling from the lions. You heard also about the lions in Psalms 22. Says, they gaped upon me with their mouths as a raven and a roaring lion. And here, my darling from the lions. I will, you know, the Lord, crucifixion was something that he wasn't looking forward to. He just had to be.
Yeah.
He said, I must. He had to die. It was, you know, I guess it was Wednesday night. Me and Reedy was here Wednesday night, and we was, our subject matter was underestimating God. And I was in Genesis chapter 3, and Adam and Eve had done the unthinkable. They'd done what God told them not to do. He said, the day you eat, you'll surely die. You'll die thereof.
Mm-hmm.
But Sister Vonnie, God had made everything in 6 days.
Right.
And he rested on that seventh day.
Yes.
But when he done the unthinkable, he come up out of the resting and went to the redemption work of mankind. And it was a short rest, morning, Brother James, Sister Patty. It was a short rest, and he started working on the redemption of mankind. Now, Adam and Eve had to have something pretty quick. But in the mind of God and in the foreknowledge of God and in the plans of God, man's redemption plan really started there in Genesis chapter 3. And here's part of it right here, all this suffering, all this price that had to be paid for our sins. It wasn't like, you know, I go to the bank, get a loan, pay my sin debt. The Bible said, who can give God a ransom for his soul, for the redemption of their soul is precious. I mean, brother, the demands of sin are a little bit different than the, you know, demands of a creditor. You know, when you go pay me, I want to be paid. The demand of sin, the only thing could pay them was the perfect sacrifice of the perfect Lamb of God. And I'll tell you what, buddy, he finished that work on the cross and said it's finished. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, says, for by grace are we saved through faith. And this is so important. That not of ourselves. We can't do anything.
Right.
It ain't like I could do anything to make myself any better. I was lost without God, without hope in the world. I had no hope whatsoever other than Jesus doing what he did at Calvary. And it wasn't an easy task. And he says, I will give thanks in the great congregation. In Hebrews chapter 12, it talks about for the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross, despised the shame, sat down at the right hand of God. He said, I will give thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. John in the book of Revelation said, I saw a crowd, a multitude, every kindred, tongue, and nation no man could number. I mean a bunch of people. I'll be one of them. You will be too if you're born again.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I will praise thee among much people. Let not them that are mine enemies wrongfully rejoice over me. You know, he was delivered into their hands. And they fulfilled the scriptures concerning Jesus. Then they realized the mistake they made, tried to hide it. I ain't going to get political here this morning. It's amazing one of these politicians get caught in something and immediately try to lie their way out of it, try to blame somebody else, try to muddy the waters up and everything else.
Yeah.
And he says, let not them that are mine enemies wrongfully rejoice over me, neither let them wink with the eye that hate me without a cause. In John chapter 15, verse number 25, it mentions about they that hate me without a cause. He loved them. They hated him.
Mm-hmm.
John 15, verse 25. Well, let's read verse 24. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not sinned. But now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that's written in their law. They hated me without a cause. And they did. They hated him. Like I said, Joseph's brothers hated him. And there wasn't no reason to hate him. They were just jealous. They just, they hated him without a cause. And really, they fulfilled God's praying for Joseph. Joseph had dreams. They bowed down to him. And boy, they hated him even more. And then he had a dream that his mother and father bowed down to him. And his father observed that saying. But he kind of reproved him over that. Show your mother and I bow down to you. But that's kind of the way life is. Sometimes we just don't see it. We see part of it. And sometimes we don't even see that much.
Mm-hmm.
We're too quick, I think, to jump. I was telling Donnie, lots of times I try to think Lord, was you trying to save my life? Me and Donnie's had a couple things happen, like we was on our way to Greensburg, Kentucky, and the granddaughter called me, and my car's broke down in the middle of the road. We was an hour away from home. We GPS which way would be the fastest way, and really, we hadn't got a ticket, but we got there, and I told Donnie, I said, you know, Lord, may have spared our life. We don't know. We don't. We see through a glass darkly. We see in part. We know in part. But lots of time I'll try to think, Lord, are you trying to help me? Are you trying to protect me? And we never do understand really what's going on. And they didn't understand, but they hated him without a cause, and yet he's dying for them. For they speak not peace, but they devise deceitful matters against them that are quiet in the land. They take advantage of people like you and me. Here we are in this blessed country. And me and Donnie, we've seen it with our eyes. Gas down in Franklin, $2.87 a gallon. And he said it's cheaper even up here at Smith's Grove. But it should be the same everywhere. And Glasgow, where I live, is $3.39 a gallon. I can't do it about it. I just got to pay it. And it don't have to be that. Well, here we are in the country. Got plenty of resources, but they're trying to shut all this New Green Deal, this Save the Planet, global warming. I wish they'd get off that nonsense. But you know, that's just kind of the way it is. They capitalize on things like global warming, even though it's not true. They make money off of that. And he says, they devise deceitful matters against them that acquire the land. We just pay the price for it. I can remember when gas was 25 cents a gallon, James. You probably can too. I had a 66 GTO, three deuces, 389, four speed in the floor. And I pulled up down at Mr. Witcher's gas station. We took our school money at Rita. We pulled our school money, which was about, you know, $1.50, something like that. Man, we filled the tank up on that GTO. We skipped school, went to Mammoth Cave Park, acted like a bunch of idiots all day long. They all got caught and I didn't. We kept skipping school, Patty, but one day I realized, I thought, man, we're doing this too much. I said, y'all go ahead, I'm going to go to school. They got caught that day. They probably thought I snitched on them. But I felt like we was going too far in it anyway. But they devise matters against them that are quiet in the land. I heard on the news as I was leaving the house this morning that one of these programs designed to feed the hungry had squandered or by deceitful. They got like $240,000 and spent on something other than feeding the poor. And you know, like I said, you know, Proverbs 29 verse 2 says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. Well, they got caught. And they're supposed to have to pay that money back, but I guess we'll be the one to pay it back. I mean, it's just kind of like that. They devise deceitful matters against them that are quiet the land. I think we need probably more vocal. Yea, they opened their mouth wide against me and said, I have seen it. See, he's been delivered into their hands and they're laughing about it. And yet it's the will of God for him to be delivered in their hands. And Brother Eric, they think, you know, that they've accomplished their mission. They've been trying to get him. He's been, you know, it wasn't his hour, and he just kind of walked through the midst of them. They wanted to throw him off the edge of a cliff. I mean, he comes in the synagogue. They hand him a book. He reads out of the book, about this day, the scripture fulfilled in your ears. See if I can find that real quick. The Spirit of God's upon me. They went for him off the end of a cliff. It's raining. I'm in a hurry. Spirit of the Lord's upon me because he's anointed me. Anyway, like I said, they didn't like it. They didn't like the way he looked. They didn't like what he said. One thing about a little rainy day like today, I don't have to worry about being in too big a hurry. Well, we need to leave that alone. Kind of like dead air on the radio. But he said, the Spirit of the Lord's upon me, for he has anointed me. And he said, this day is that scripture fulfilled in your ears. And they took him to the end of the cliff to throw him off of it. They didn't like it. I've had a few one throw me off a cliff. Yeah. It says, they opened their mouth wide against me and said, aha, aha, or I sing it. This thou hast seen, O Lord, and kept not silent. O Lord, be not far from me. Sometimes you want God real close. And the Bible tells us in Acts 17, he's never very far from any one of us. But sometimes he does seem far away. Job said, he said, I looked on my left hand, my right hand, and he's not there. I look where he works. I can't find him. Oh, I knew where I might find him. Sometimes God just seemed like he's nowhere to be found. Stir up thyself and awake to my judgment, even unto my cause, my God and my Lord. Judge me, O Lord, my God, according to thy righteous end, and let them not rejoice over me. You know, in the predicament Jesus was in, it had to be. It wasn't like there was another option. It was the only option there was. He had to die for the sins of the world. Let them not rejoice over me. Let them not say in their hearts, "Ah, so would we have it." In other words, don't let them have their way. Let them not say, "We have swallowed them up." They thought, you know what, that they'd conquered Jesus, that they'd that they had accomplished their objective. That third day, Brother Eric, he got up. Mm-hmm. Boy, they didn't like that. They tried to fabricate a lie. They gave large money to the soldiers, saying his disciples stole him in the night. And if it come to the governor's ears, you know, there's always a plan, especially with politicians. They've always got a plan, you know. I can't find nothing this morning. I thought that was in Matthew, but it must be in John here. Well, let's try Luke. I know it's at the end. But they was coming up with a plan to cover their tracks. I don't know if you've noticed or not. People are getting pretty good at that. They can get away with anything. A little wet out there.
Yes, it is.
No, my, I can't find nothing this morning.
Yeah.
Serenity, how you doing, sweetie?
Yeah. Yep. Amen. Yep.
My nephew's here today.
All right, honey. Did you bring him with you?
Yeah.
Good. Good. That's some of that benefits of that vacation Bible school. Here we go. It's in Matthew, I just didn't find it. And when they were assembled together, the elders, and had taken counsel, they gave large money to the soldiers, saying, "Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept, and if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you." That's in Matthew 28, verse number 13, 14, 12 through 14. And they did it. But here, say not, "We've swallowed him up. Let them be ashamed and brought the confusion together that rejoiced at my hurt. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor that magnify themselves against me. Let them," and this is us right here, "let them shout for joy and be glad and favor my righteous cause." Boy, I'm glad he loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. His righteous cause. And let them say continually, "Let the Lord be magnified, which have pleasure in the prosperity of his servant, and my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long." What a way to end a psalm about the suffering of Jesus. But you know, we do need all day long praise the Lord. It says here, "Let my tongue speak of thy righteousness and of thy praises all the day long." The old song says, "I'm rejoicing in my Savior every moment of the day, since He gave me this heart of love. On and on we walk together in my hallelujah way, since He gave me this heart of love." I tell you what, the Lord gives us something, and we need to, like Serenity, bring somebody with us. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. All right, you're dismissed. Look like you got goodies back there. Later I'll come out with a hobo full. Hallelujah. I thought she was bringing that to me.